This is LeSere Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. I'm sure many of you are like I am, carrying a very deep concern at the present time about the conditions that prevail in our country. We, of course, are concerned about the COVID virus and pray that the Lord will deliver us from that. but also about the number of people who really would like to destroy this country as we have known it, and some admit it openly, and others hold positions that would ultimately tear it down. Surely it's a time we need to be much in prayer. We're told to pray for those that have the rule over us, and we need to pray that God will spare us and preserve the religious liberty that we have enjoyed in this country for so many years. We continue today with our series from the Gospel of John. I hope that you will write and let us know that you have listened. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. We do need support to be able to stay on all these stations, and we'll appreciate your help. Today, we're in John chapter 19, beginning with the 17th verse, the subject, Jesus Crucified. As we've been working our way through the Gospel of John, we've seen some wonderful things in the life of Jesus. We've read about his miracles. We've read the messages that he delivered, the words that he spoke to his disciples, particularly those at great length as he neared the end and was so much concerned for their welfare, concerned that they might have hope, peace, and comfort when he was ready to go away. Then we read of Judas betraying him and Peter denying him and of him being brought before Pilate. Pilate had been warned by his wife, who had had a dream, that he should have nothing to do with this man. And then he ultimately washed his hands to indicate that he was not going to be responsible for this death. But that act, of course, did not remove the guilt. Pilate was a weak man. He was deeply concerned when the Jews said, "If you don't do something with this man Jesus, you're not a friend of Caesar's." And so they were threatening him that they would report to those in authority that he had let a man go free that they said was an insurrectionist because he claimed to be a king. Now we come today to John chapter 19. We concluded last time with the 16th verse, which says, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. The Roman philosopher Cicero said concerning crucifixion, it is the most cruel and shameful of all punishments. Let it never come near a Roman citizen, nay, not even near their thoughts or eyes or ears. It was indeed a cruel, horrible punishment. For a man to be nailed to a cross, exposed to the hot sun, unable to breathe with any ease. They often put a platform beneath the individual's feet so that he could then push and lift himself up enough to breathe and then down again. It was a shameful death. A Roman citizen would not have been crucified, except in very rare circumstances. But here's Jesus, the Son of God, and it says they crucified him. It was a punishment reserved for the lowest kind of criminal. And these angry people in the mob were crying, crucify, crucify. The first thing, though, we observe as we look at this scene is grace. They crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. Now, John doesn't give us all of the details that may be found in some of the other Gospels. And we're going to stick basically to what John presents to us in this study. But we do learn when we read in the other Gospels that it was significant that Jesus was crucified between two thieves. Grace really is seen here in that Jesus willingly goes to the cross. At other times, they had sought to take him. His enemies had demonstrated their bitterness on several occasions. Back when he was in the synagogue at Nazareth and read from the scriptures, they were infuriated because he read about God's sovereign blessing being bestowed upon those who were not Israelites. They attempted on that occasion to lead him to the edge of the mountain and throw him over head first, but he walked away from them. On another occasion, they came to take him, and they returned to the authorities saying, Never man spake like this man. We couldn't do it. We couldn't follow through. Obviously, Jesus had the power to walk away from them. But he willingly gave himself. Said he was led away. It was not a forceful imposition, but Jesus willingly going to the cross. This in keeping with the prophecy that was made long before in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He didn't speak against this angry mob that was taking him away. He didn't resist because he had come to this earth for the specific purpose of going to the cross to redeem his people. It says he went forth to Golgotha, and that was the Hebrew name for the place where he was crucified. Others referred to it as Calvary. That was the Gentile terminology. We generally speak of him going to the cross, going to Calvary, giving his life as a ransom for many. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, Jesus had indicated some time before the crucifixion was near that he would willingly give himself. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. I lay it down. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So he willingly submitted to this horrendous, painful, shameful death for the purpose of bearing the sins of many. In that 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah that tells us so much about what would transpire when Jesus came and became the sacrifice for sinners, verse 12 says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, a thief on either side, being treated as a terrible common criminal. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. When we read this account, now John really doesn't give a lot of the details about the suffering itself and all that was said and done. But when we looked at the synoptic gospels and compare them with what John is telling us, it's a dark scene in so many ways. He was stripped of his clothes. He's suffering, subjected to the physical pain, the disgrace, but worst of it all, that the sin of all who would ultimately believe on Jesus were put upon him, and God the Father treated him like we should have been treated. If you want to get the picture of how God views sin and how great an offense it is to a holy God, you look at what took place at the cross. We read in another of the Gospels that he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's another one of those things that's impossible for us to be able to fathom. How could it be that God the Father and God the Son would be for a period of time separated? But that's what the scripture tells us, and we embrace it. It was a time of darkness. God shut out the noonday sun. It was a dark, dark time. Grace then is seen as Jesus goes willingly to the cross. And grace is seen when we observe what took place with one of these thieves. The thief could hear the mocking of the crowd. There were some of those that said, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Prove your claims." Others said, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself." They heard all of the mocking, all of the ridicule, and the thieves themselves spoke against him, heaped insults upon him. But then there was change. Remarkable. How could it be that this man who is himself dying could look on the man on the middle cross with a crown of thorns down on his head, nailed there, unable to go anyplace, people laughing at him, mocking him, and suddenly decide, "I believe what the inscription says. I believe he is the king." And so then he rebukes the other thief, and he said, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." This malefactor, as he was called, recognized four things. First of all, he saw himself as a sinner. He says, "We're receiving what we got coming to us. We deserve to die because we are guilty. We're violators of the law. But this man hath done nothing amiss." So he saw himself as a sinner. He knew he needed a Savior. That's the second thing. He knew he needed help, not just help because of his physical suffering. He had come to realize that he was a sinner in the sight of a holy God, and he needed a Savior. Number three, he saw Jesus as the Savior he needed. He gave a good testimony. "This man hath done nothing amiss." He testified to the perfection of Jesus. He's done nothing wrong. He concludes, "This man is the Savior that I need." And then number four, he trusted him. He believed that Jesus was the King and says, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Here is an acknowledgement. This is no ordinary man. This man does have a kingdom. He's going there. I want to go with him. So he trusted him. He called for his help. Grace then is clearly displayed because Jesus says, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." It was too late for this man to reform and to begin to do good works. Too late for him to be baptized. Too late for him to join a church. He was in deep trouble. He needed grace. And that's what was given to him. And let me tell you, that's the condition that we all are in by nature. Just as much as this man saw himself to be a sinner, when the Spirit of God moves upon one today and shows him what he is and breaks his heart, you come to realize, "I am a sinner. I am justly condemned, but this man Jesus has done nothing wrong. This man Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I trust him. I believe on him. He is my hope and my salvation." Yes, Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." That's grace. And one day, if you are at home with the Lord and His presence in heaven, you'll have to say, it's by grace. I didn't deserve it. I wasn't entitled to it. I had nothing that I could offer to recommend myself. But it's grace, free and sovereign grace. Today we brought you the first portion of a message entitled Jesus Crucified from our series on the Gospel of John. If you would like information about getting all of the messages from this series, you can request that when writing us at the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. Till we greet you next time, this is Lasair Bradley Jr. bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
Blessed assurance. Salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect salvation, all is at rest. Savior, I'm happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.